So, welcome everybody to the latest edition of Elrond Talks, episode 3, The Future is for Those Who Build. I just want to open up saying hello to everyone who's here. Happy to have you all. Today we have Mihai from Trustaking. Just a bit of a housekeeping note on Elrond Talks. Elrond Talks is an open format, so that's why today it's hosted here at Helios Staking. And in the future, you'll see it hosted on other people's channels as well. Elrond Talks is for the entire community. So we just want to make sure that everyone's aware of this. And if anyone wants to do their own Elrond Talk, you're more than welcome to do it. You can get in touch with myself or Eddie from Valid Blocks, and we can talk to you about doing one and making sure that the consistency is there. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mihai. If Mihai, you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found Elrond, what your background is, and how it's going with Trustaking so far before we get into some of the build conversations.
Sure. Hello, guys. Happy to be here. Thank you, Kevin, for the invite. And yeah, so let's start talking about me. I started looking into Elrond back in July last year after my birthday. I was joining the crypto world, let's say like that, in late 2018, just as an investor in Bitcoin. I was just, you know, playing safe. And yeah, in July 2020, I discovered Elrond from a Romania YouTuber. And I start, you know, reading about it because it was interesting having a Romania, you know, crypto company. And after a few weeks of, you know, reading everything on GitHub, blog post and Twitter, I said, okay, you know what, I will move all my Bitcoins in Elrond and start doing something, because it was a new project and I was trying to be part of this since Genesis. That's how I started. So I am not really old in crypto, but this is how I introduced myself in the crypto world. On the personal plan, I have a background in IT. Right now, I am working for Amazon in London for a year and few more months, almost 2 years, I think. And recently, I started working on implementing things on Elrond blockchain, playing with this. I am still not an expert. I am learning on the way. But everything looks good in this direction. So we are close to release a new project for Trustaking. We will talk about that later on. Trustaking is going very well right now. We decided to open the gates for everyone, as I consider that every delegator needs to have a space somewhere around. And this is how we grow the community, also the Elrond community, and as well the Trustaking community. That's how Trustaking is doing right now. Yes.
Awesome. That's cool. I actually knew that you were using Amazon and stuff, but I didn't know you actually worked there. So that's actually kind of cool. That's interesting to know. I've noticed that you've released a lot of cool, like there's a one click option, I think, with nodes with Amazon that you've done. But what I'd like to touch base with first, I think, with building is, let's just talk about why Elrond is probably the best choice for developers and what it has to offer.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. So everyone is comparing Elrond with Ethereum, which is kind of right, but not really, because we cannot compare anything from Elrond with the real Ethereum, which is live now. So everyone is comparing something with the future of Ethereum. But right now on Elrond, you can build at the internet scale. So in past, every single blockchain had a TPS of maximum 10 transactions per second. So that wasn't enough for real use case application. It was enough for like playing with the T apps, like farming, swapping some tokens. But this is the next level of building. It's, as Benny said many, many times, it's from dial-up to broadband, basically. I don't know how many people know that YouTube was invented after we upgraded from dial-up to broadband, because the speed was enough to stream this live stream right now, you know? So imagine a couple of years what application will be built on Elrond blockchain or other blockchains, because of course it's not just Elrond, but we are targeting just high speed, low latency blockchains right now. Why you should build on Elrond? That's a very interesting question. Elrond is not just a blockchain, it's an economic system behind the scenes. And if you want to build something and you really do it great and you will have a lot of transaction on your project, you can actually start a business from that. So I'll start a bit comparing with Uniswap, right? Imagine how many transactions are there and how many gas fees are paid per day on that. If you convert the smart contract on Elrond, for example, you will have 30% from all the fees as a royalty for unlimited time, because you are the owner of that. So Elrond allow you to start a business from just building on this network
free.
Like,
exactly.
You don't have to pay to create a business.
Yeah. If you know how to code, and you know how to create smart contracts, and it actually provides value every time that gets executed, you're getting 30% of that transaction fee, and that's huge. I wanted to just go back a bit and actually just touch on the broadband to dial up and the Ethereum stuff. A lot of people are out there, oh, well, you know, it's the Ethereum killer. We are the broadband of the internet. But the one thing that I kind of like to tell people about where Ethereum was in their beginning to where they are now is, you know, they developed in 2015, I think, was when they came on the block. And it took a really long time for things like Uniswap to be even able to be built on top of Ethereum. And it took a really long time for a lot of things to happen because they had to onboard developers, and they had to get more tools developed and things brought from the ground up. And the thing about Elrond, and the thing that I've always really appreciated about it, is the fact that it was built from code line one from the ground up. The amount of chains out there that are just clones of Ethereum, or, you know, little bits of GitHubs all over, repos all over the place, is staggering. So when people look at Elrond and say, well, they don't have this, they don't have this, well, we will have this, but the thing is we're building from scratch, and we're making sure that the security is there, that the speed is there, that the transaction fees are low, and that it's stable. And I think from a developer standpoint, that's just like the trifecta. With the added bonus, you're going to earn 30% just by writing smart contracts, which is absolutely amazing. I love that. I guess the other thing that I'd like to touch base on is just the amount of languages that you can actually build. So if you want to take that away, go for it.
I was going to point on this, like, as you pointed that Ethereum was bootstrapping at the point where, you know, SushiSwap or all these DEX were created, is because people had to learn Solidity. So they are depending on Solidity, which is a language created from scratch by the Ethereum Foundation, which it was cool at the time because it was the first one to build smart contracts. But what Elrond is doing now with Rust is that since day one, every Rust programmer in the world, like from, I don't know, Microsoft, Amazon, or all these big corporations, they have programmers using Rust, right? Or other small companies, they should have someone knowing how to code in Rust. So they already have developers now, right? They don't need to teach anyone how to use Solidity. Rust is just one language. But because Elrond is based on WebAssembly, you can actually code in almost any language, Python. If you build in Python and convert the code in WebAssembly, theoretically, you can actually run that on Elrond. You can do it as well on TypeScript, C++, C. So there are more than five. Yes, right now the focus is just on Rust, because we need to have at least something as a main with a framework. So something very, very stable. And after that, I'm sure the team or other teams like staking providers will start to investigate other language like Python or TypeScript and build a framework for that. So that will enable more developers access to, let's say, our world of building on Elrond.
Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, there's all the Web3 stuff, right? And so, what a lot of people might not know out there is the amount of work. Like you said, you said you're kind of the new kid into Elrond or into blockchain, right? And yeah. And yeah, I remember very, very distinctly seeing, oh, who's this Mihai guy, and you know what's going on, and very, very quickly. I think from a developing standpoint, you proved yourself, you helped out with the delegation manager in a React.js stuff, and you're constantly pushing new stuff. So what is your experience with working with Elrond, and as a developer and using the React.js framework in order to push out, you know, a dApp that allows us to interact with the smart contracts?
Yeah, working with Elrond, it's quite nice. They are kind of like my type. I am also the type of not sleeping over the night and, being hardcore in what I am doing. So when I met them, I was like, this is perfect. So I am sometimes asking Lucian or other members at 3 a.m. in the morning to, you know, just review this little change and let me know what you think. And they are there for me and just say, yes, we'll review tomorrow or we will merge it tomorrow. And they are always there and they are accepting any proposal. If they like it, of course, they will merge it. If they have something to say, they will say, maybe you need to change this or maybe we don't need this right now. So they are open for contribution. About me and how I started to learn React, that's a long story. I started back in Romania when I was little, more little than I am now. And from that point, React is just like a playground for me.
Yeah,
I know how to use it. And now, as you can see, I think a few days ago, Elrond released a new library for React where you can just import it and have the entire login system made by them from scratch. You just use it. I remember when I tried to do the trust-taking delegation manager, like before having this public version of delegation manager made by Elrond.
I remember that. And I was trying to get it off you, and like it was public. And I was like, that's amazing. You did that all yourself, right?
Yeah, but after that, I said, well, why we should have more of this? At that point, for me, was a security concern because I asked people to log in my website via my, let's say, login system made from scratch, of course using the Elrond CDK, but at that point I said, okay, let's increase my trustness and security using the public methods from Elrond, like, you know, the redirect to the web wallet and all that stuff was more secure for my customers because they already trust Elrond, so they will know that if I transfer them to Elrond to do the login, they are not giving me any, you know, private keys or anything like that.
Agreed, yeah.
So that's why I decided to stop that scratch project for trust taking and just help the Elrond to build the public one and do some tutorials how to install it on a server, or the recent one yesterday, the serverless one for the new phase 3.5 for private nodes.
I think you've done an amazing job, and it's great to know that you've been learning React for so long. Myself, like I'm 30, almost pushing 40, and my background's in more front end, but just CSS, HTML, PHP, and now with, you know, all these like better languages out there, you know, I feel like a bit of a dinosaur. And like we were talking earlier about this, and how, you know, I'm learning React now, and I'm spending a lot of time, well, whatever time I do have to try and learn, because the things that you can do with it is just incredible. But what most people don't really understand is that, yeah, like you can program in Python, you can program in .NET, you can use all that as well. But I personally, I think JS is the most elegant way that I've seen so far. And to chime in just on the team and how you're a night owl and all that sort of stuff, and how they never sleep. I think that just goes with the Elrond territory. You know, like if you come into the Elrond world, it's just like go, 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 work, work, work. And you have to be ready for anything at any time. So just we have a few questions out there. There's one about tutorials. I know you've done some tutorials in the past for the delegation manager. I think you recently just did one for the cloud. How to put it on Cloudflare, a serverless install. But let's say someone wanted to start developing in, say, develop a dApp in React, or wanted to start building into the Elrond network. What tutorials would you say are out there now, or what tutorials do you think we need to start pushing this forward?
I think in the beginning they should know a little bit about React in general. Like, for example, we had a question on the developer chat on Telegram about, hey, how can I use this? And I was trying to explain to him how the library of Elrond is working, but I was blocked by the fact that he didn't know too much about React in general, like the base of React, like what's this context doing, how it's disconnecting with the library and so on. So if you learn from scratch, I recommend you to just jump on any basic React course on any, you know, platform of learning, or actually on YouTube. You can see many tutorials about how React is working. And if you don't want to watch anything and you just want to read the documentation, I was learning from the React documentation. It's very good with real examples. Like, you can start to just copy what they are doing there, and you will just understand better actually doing it in the same time.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm doing is replicating. So I try and replicate things in, and if they don't work, and because of the background of my front end, I can kind of see what's going on. But like, there is a steep learning curve. Udemy has helped me a lot too. I find a few courses in there that just give you kind of the basic stuff. The React documentation does as well, for sure. But yeah, it's tough to come in and build in something when you don't know the language to start off with, right? And I think maybe it might be beneficial in the future to see some more conversations out there about, you know, just React and then how to use React with Elrond, and not just how to build on Elrond. That might be something someone can take on. I know there's Marius from MG Staking has the Stack Overflow connected now, and that's building some steam, and there's some developers there growing. So if there's any developers out there watching, maybe go check that out and join the conversation there. But yeah, and then, you know, outside of React, there's like there's the Myar login stuff too, right? That now exists. So do you maybe want to talk about how easy that is and how that works?
Well, behind the scenes, it's Wallet Connect, which is actually a server waiting for you to scan the QR, sending you to Myar, and Myar will send you back to the dApp. But this is too complex, and you know the Elrond style is trying to hide the complexity behind of something very, very simple. So this Myar Connect is actually made in the library I discussed earlier about with the dApp login. So you have all types of login in the same dApp. You just import it in your application, and that's it. You have Ledger, native Ledger. You have Web Wallet with the Redirect, and you also have Myar with the Wallet Connect. So it's already there. You don't really need to understand the concept of Wallet Connect. If you want, and you want to go that deep, you can actually run the server for Wallet Connect yourself, and that's really recommended for big dApps, as well as the APIs. If you can host your own APIs and not depend on Elrond public API, that's a great move, because you will have your own control above that. Like, who can access it? You can make it private and it's just for you. You can avoid the DOS and all that stuff. But let's move from React to other languages, because React is just for front-end. But we know that the blockchain is not just front-end, right?
Of course.
So I have like three top languages for Elrond. One is React to build the front-end. One is Rust to build a smart contract. We can call it back-end. and one is Python, which I kind of use it for scripting stuff. Python is very, very interactive. It's almost pseudocode. Pseudocode is actually like writing in English words,
yeah,
and
it's a layer
doing
above.
That.
It's a layer above, yeah.
Exactly. And we have the RDP, which is kind of the CDK for Python, as we have the RDGS, the CDK for JavaScript. So right now, TrustTaking is working. My team is working on a script in Python, which will fetch the history of our agency. We will make it public, most probably when we'll be done. And we can have like analytics about how many people delegated, how many people made a claim request, claim rewards, how many people unstaked from us, in what interval. And we will also use this for a tax report. So we'll touch on this if you want now or a bit later.
Yeah, well, that's kind of getting into the if you can dream it, you can build it conversation, right? So the thing about Elrond is like, if you can dream it, you can build it. And I think you just touched on a question from Adrian S, who said, what programming language do you see the best to start on, Elrond, if you don't know any programming, but not in the sci-fi languages? So apart from React.
Rust, that's the most important. And Python, I would say. So with Python, you can test things easily just doing a script.
Yeah, scripting in Python is really powerful, especially with Elrond. You can do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of information already on the Elrond Docs website where you can try a few things that can help you script stuff. We built a few scripts that we use internally that work beautifully and that sort of stuff. And yeah, it is pseudocode. I wouldn't call it, you know, anything hardcore, but starting with that would be pretty good, because you'd be able to learn a lot with the ERDPy, essentially. That probably is a good start. But yeah, if you can imagine it, you can build it, right? So I believe you're working on something that is probably pretty really important. So if you want to go ahead and talk about that and how it is you came up with the idea to do that.
So the idea is already in place over the internet, like a tax system for crypto. We have many websites doing that already. But the problem is that all these websites, they don't understand Elrond like us. They don't know that we have the delegation manager in a smart contract, right? Like we claim the rewards from a smart contract. We do the redelegate in the same smart contract without moving the funds in our wallet directly. So when you add your wallet in this type of tax system, they don't see your delegation. They don't know how much money you have there, and they don't know that you receive daily an exact amount. And based on that, they cannot calculate anything. So Dragos, a member from TrustTaking team, is doing this stuff in Python. We will create an API. It's actually an extension of the Express API, the public one from Elrond, where you can give an address and it will generate a tax report for you based on any agency, because we have all contracts. We know where to check if you are with TrustTaking, Helios, Valid Blocks, and all these agencies. We will check that for you, and we will just fetch everything and calculate for you. Because this is a real big problem even for my agency. I need to do everything manual in Excel or add manual transactions in all these existing softwares. And at the end of the day, they're asking me, hey, how did you add this here? Because I don't see the, you know, the transaction in blockchain.
Yeah.
It's not there. Because what they see is just a zero value amount.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
We actually call the contract, right?
Yeah.
So they cannot...
Yeah, I have the same problem, and as a business owner as well, yeah, the amount of times that, you know, I'm working in spreadsheets or manually inputting the information into these other apps, which we'll just keep them unnamed for now, they sync, but then as soon as a smart contract shows up, it won't sync anything else, and you don't really know what's going on there and what you've claimed and all that sort of stuff. So I think there's actually a really big opportunity there, even actually with other chains. These apps specifically do lack when you send money to liquidity pools. it just shows them as zero values. So you have to go in and find out what the value was at that time, and then it doesn't actually give you the value back in your balance sheet. And that's a big problem just for reporting. So, you know, I have reporting running and it works well enough, but at the end of the day, I still have to go to a spreadsheet and then format that for my accountant. So I think what you're doing is a very small step to a very big project. And I think what you'll be able to do is, you know, build that with Python, like you're saying, figure out the smart contract stuff, then maybe start adding other chains somehow through Elrond smart contracts. I don't know how we do that. And then push that out to an accounting system, you know, that kind of gives you the right information. I think that's really strong, for sure. So maybe we can talk about some other things on Elrond that you can do with building. You can build your ESDT tokens now, NFTs, and all that sort of stuff. And so let's get into that for a minute before we take any more questions.
Yeah, I want to point something. I see Elrond not like a normal blockchain, like, you know, everyone is just doing NFTs and tokens over tokens. Like, we have, I think, thousands of tokens with useless tokens. I feel like Elrond can do something for the real world. Like, no one is talking about digital identity yet, right? Like, a government will use a blockchain for that. No one is talking about signing documents and save the hash on the blockchain. Like, real stuff, like a normal person will use without knowing that behind the scenes it's blockchain. The best example for this is how we log in Mire for the first time. When you create a new wallet in Mire, you don't have money there to pay the transaction, right? You are on zero balance. But you still have the possibility to create a hero tag. There is something very smart built by Elrond called Relayer. So you send a message to another wallet, and that wallet will pay the fees for you and do everything for you. So that wallet will create the hero tag in your name. Imagine if you apply this to another real world situation. I'll give an example because I was working before in a VoIP company, like basically call centers, building for them. You can actually record the calls on a S3 bucket, but store the hash in a blockchain as a, I don't know, NFTs or something like that. So why doing that? Because many companies, for example, banks, they require by the law to keep the recording for 7 years. And that recording shouldn't be modified in time, right? I don't know. You discuss it with the client about the amount of money, and after that you just, cut that part from the conversation and re-upload. That's not going to work if you put a hash of the first recording in the blockchain. And we can do this without for the customer to know that there is blockchain behind the scenes using this Relayer. The customer will pay something in dollars as a subscription every week or 2 weeks or per year. So they are paying in dollars, but the fees for that stuff they need to sign is paid by the company, which will be covered by the subscription. So in the end of the day, the customer doesn't know anything about e-gold or Bitcoin or blockchain in general. They pay in dollars, but the entire system is running on blockchain.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny you bring up it's basically document management. In my past, I've had a lot to do with self-storage document management companies and did a lot of marketing for them. They have these giant warehouses, and with the environment being such a sticky subject, and especially so over the past day or two, maybe if Elon's watching, come on, Elon, or let's everyone get him over here. Yeah. But with the environment, and they had these giant warehouses filled with papers that had to be kept there for 7 years by law, by banks, lawyers, and all this stuff, and an insane amount of wastage. And they've always been trying to find ways to go digital and to make it immutable digitally. And I think what you're saying about where Elrond is and us just imagining things on what we can build, I think there's so many real world examples out there right now that are just untapped, waiting for something like Elrond with the throughput, with the low latency fees, with the developer or the low latency, the finality, and of course the low fees, and then the developer, the 30% developer kickbacks. Which again, if you're a developer out there, no other chain is doing this. So come on board, right? So yeah. So if you know. Back to that, imagine if you can build it. Maybe you don't even have to imagine it. Maybe right now you're working in a job, like you were saying, voice over IP, and that sort of stuff. And it's probably just an application that can be plugged in and people won't even know they're using blockchain. I think that's the thing that Elrond's maybe really trying to achieve, is to bring blockchain to the masses, but have it seem like that they're not even using the blockchain, because that's the whole point of the adoption and user experience. You know, if you're using something but don't know you're using it, then I think you've kind of won, in my opinion. So
Meyer is doing that.
Meyer is doing that. It is a real example. Okay, so we have a few more questions. Okay, so there's one here from, it's a guy's A340, Ryan G. So I'm assuming Ryan G. Any idea when an application is coming to re-delegate via mobile app? So I think we already know the answer to that.
I know he's referring to something else. So in the beginning of the agency, I started building an application for the agency, like to re-delegate and do all this stuff. But the point of that was mostly just for the ledger people, which don't use Meyer, because some people, they don't want to import the ledger words in Meyer or something like that. I don't know how this app will help them now, because you'll still need to import the ledger somewhere, you know, to do that. I think Meyer is handling that already. That's why we kind of stopped everything about that app.
Yeah, exactly. Like Meyer does it so simply. I helped someone earlier today. They messaged me and said, "Oh, how do I redelegate?" And it's like, okay, it's super simple.
Instead of this, I will have a, let's say, proposal for Meyer, which it was, I don't know, bring it to me from my friends. If you could import another wallet as a watcher. So I will give my ledger address just there without my private keys, but I will have in the same menu when I receive the rewards and all this stuff, you know, have it there, like more addresses in the same.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That would be cool. And I think down the road, as people keep building and more people come on board, we're going to see a lot of cool stuff. And you know, just what's happened recently with the ability to connect basically any D app now with Web Connect and all that stuff is absolutely amazing. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more come out. So we have another question here from Mark Crasto. He's saying, what is the progress of the D apps and tokens being built on Elrond?
I believe our partners started to build on this for quite a while, but let's remind to everyone that the tokens went live, I think, 3 weeks ago or a month, if I'm not wrong. So quite recently. Probably they are still testing on testnet, and I am sure if you go to testnet and, let's say, watch all transactions, you might see their smart contracts doing some interesting things. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but that most probably will be a partner testing something. So they're definitely working on it, but is, you know Elrond, they are not releasing anything until it's first secure, scalable, and audited by at least few companies of security. So it's not that simple.
Yeah, it's not. And I think I think what a lot of people out there in the non-development world don't realize how long it actually takes to develop things. It's not just okay, ESDT tokens are live now, tomorrow all of a sudden all these apps show up. They have to be tested, they have to be deployed, they have to be built and used. I think I don't know how many people know the link to the Explorer, but there is the Elrond Explorer. So you can go to explorer.elrond.com, and if you go to /tokens, you can see all the tokens that are currently created in the system. Another important point too, you were saying, you know, people could go poke around the testnet or devnet and see what's going on in the smart contracts. To any developers out there, you can actually build your own testnet, and you can build your own proxies and all that stuff and lock all that down so that you're not subject to, maybe if you're using the testnet, you're not subject to, you know, upgrades that are happening constantly and new testing. You can just kind of get the most recent version, and focus on, you know, the DevNet's always mainnet version. So if you're a smaller developer and don't have the resources, you should be using DevNet, not the testnet, because the DevNet's just a version of the mainnet currently. Using testnet's always risky, because if we upgrade the testnet or we reset the database, then you're gonna have to start over again. Or if you do have the resource, suggest to create your own private chain and everything, and test it that way. And of course, you should be connecting with the team as well to make sure that everything's running the way it is potentially. Tokens are a great thing. So do you want to talk a bit about NFTs and where you see that going?
Yes, I actually have a project planned for NFTs with an artist from America. We are waiting for the marketplace. I am not sure yet if Elrond will build the marketplace. I know the source code is open on GitHub. Everyone can just deploy that marketplace right now, but someone need to build the interface using React, of course. If no one is starting on that, I would be more than happy to do it. But my main problem is that I am looking for developers. I mean, I cannot handle everything, at least now. Yeah. Hopefully in a few months I will have more time, because I will quit some other things. And, I will have time to also help my developers building, not just giving ideas and instructions and, you know, fix some bugs.
Yeah,
just from
I think you're touching on a really big subject here. Personally, we've been looking for React developers constantly, and we had one in a bit ago who really didn't know what they were doing. I think they were more of a I can manipulate React. See, like I call myself more of a manipulator of React myself. I've been able to manipulate any of the React stuff I've seen, but I'm not really able to. Like, I'm getting better at adding modules, but I'm still not that good. It is tough out there finding developers. I've talked to a few other people about looking for developers and how we're going to onboard developers. And there's so many good projects, and you just mentioned the NFT marketplace that's just sitting there waiting for someone to build and maybe have a first mover advantage on that. And that's huge. I think, you know, again, if there's any developers out there, there's anyone who's looking to build, they should be reaching out to the developer community. There's the Elrond Developers Telegram group. There's that Stack Overflow I was telling you about. And then there's just, you know, the community, and start trying to get in touch with some of us and let's see what we can do. I'm always looking. I know almost every provider's looking, I think, at this point. What's important is that you come over, and believe me, everyone within the Elrond network is more than willing to help. We're always ready to give people the time and I guess e-gold in what they are worth. We're not looking always for necessarily free people. Like, it's not a free world out there, but we're there, and we have the resources to start building some really cool stuff. So this is a call out to any developer watching now to just come on over and start talking to us and start building. Let's see what we can go. I know there's a few projects that are out there being built as well. There's the multi-sig contract, I think, that's being built right now into a DApp. You're working on that tax thing. But it would be great to see that NFT project get going. But I would imagine too, knowing Elrond, that they'll probably create their own marketplace tab directly in the wallet as well, because we have MEX coming. The Meyer Exchange, which, you know, everyone's really excited about. You can almost assume that somewhere after that, there'll be, you know, an NFT marketplace maybe being developed as well. We have another question here from Mark Krasto, who says, why are GitHub commits still frozen at the same number, even after over 500 GitHub commits this week?
Well, I don't really know about that. I mean, could be, I don't know, not a bug in the, I think you are talking about the Grow website or something, because there is the GitHub commits displayed. I think the real time you can watch that on GitHub itself, like you just go there and you can see every hour an update for some packages. You know that it's working, like the team is working almost 24 hours. You can see almost during the week, there is every hour at least a push in a commit branch or something like that, and some comments left on PRs and the issues.
So yeah, I saw someone the other day say something must be going on because Sunday had a ton of commits. It's like it's great that people are watching that, and I think it's awesome. And yeah, the amount of work and developers, like these guys, I've said it a ton. They're legends in my book for the amount of time they put in developing. But yeah, so it's probably just a bug then, I guess, is what our answer is. Adrian S. also has a question. Do we know how many teams are registered in that Morales hackathon? I don't know offhand. I haven't heard anything yet.
I don't think we have access to that information.
Yeah.
I want to point something on the dApps and projects some people can build. So you know that to have a dApp, you need some APIs, right? There is this opportunity where a team can actually build an infrastructure for APIs, like having observators and selling requests. An example from Ethereum will be in Fura.io.
Yep.
So this is something which is missing, but I saw some partners doing that for Elrond. But as well, if we have more, that's even better, because the load will be distributed across multiple providers for APIs. That's what I started to do as well, but just for internal development for trust taking. It's not, let's say, external and put a price per request, but that's the direction I'm going to.
Yeah, with that in fewer stuff, just for example, if you're going to run your own Ethereum API, you're going to want to be spending at least $400 or $500 a month, but then you also have to pay the Ethereum guys to increase your API requests per second, which is about another $400-$500. So you're looking at 1,000 at least. So like with Infura, the way they do it is, yeah, they charge per request per day, and their top tier is about 400, but there's tiers that are, you know, 100 or less. But yeah, there's a huge opportunity there for someone to come in and create that kind of system, because at the end of the day, not all developers know everything. There's not, like, it's not full stack everywhere, and if they have to learn how to manage, you know, your observer squads and, you know, keep that upgraded, and then make sure that's all working, and then connect that to your front end, and then sell your requests and make sure you have all the load balancers and all that stuff in place, you know, that's a big hurdle for a lot of developers. And yeah, definitely. If again, I think there are a few people who have APIs out there already, public ones that they're allowing people to use for free. And I think that's incredible. But there is probably a business model there to provide, you know, an incredible amount of resource towards an API that's then sellable. And you know, it's just a quick link. I mean, like I personally set up Infura before, and it was just click, got my link, plugged that into my config file for where I needed it, and then it was working. When I actually built the Ethereum node for, like, the node for it, you know, that took 24 hours to sync, if not more, you know, and then yeah, and I still had to learn how to, you know, restrict access and all that stuff. You know, so that is another great idea that I think we'll see sooner than later, for sure. Yeah. So we don't have any more questions at the moment. If there's any if there's any more out there, I think to touch on that NFT stuff a bit more. I really think there's real opportunity in the NFT stuff. I know a bunch of artists who are looking for cheaper ways to get their art out there. It's super expensive to mint stuff on Ethereum. So getting that out there sooner than later would be great. So maybe, you know, maybe it's us to do it. But you know, if again, you know, we just need to push and find more people to get building.
Who knows? Maybe someone will build the first label just on blockchain, you know, like the next Spotify on blockchain, where, you know, people will pay with crypto to unblock the service. And as well, the music will be protected by the blockchain itself.
Exactly.
So that will be next step.
Yeah, and those exist on other chains, but they haven't taken off yet because of because they're just too expensive to run. I have an answer to a question. Ivan on Tech was saying there's about a total of 1K registered for the hackathon. So that's a lot of teams. There's what, only three that are gonna win, I think? I would hate to have to go. I would have to hate to go through all that. We've got another question coming in. Now with EESDT launched, you know, the real building begins, right? And I've personally with Helios, I've thrown around the idea of having my own coin. And all that right. Sort of stuff, you know, but I always come down to the legal side of things and whatever, but eventually, we have an internal goal of like a year from now, which it seems like a long time, but to maybe, start a collateralized lending and borrowing, portal, but from Helios itself. I really want to be able to help people reach their financial goals. That's what Helios is kind of all about, and financial inclusion. And I think, if I'm going to thump that drum, providing, you know, good rates and collateralized lending, would be a really good step forward. So that's kind of what I'm looking at building, you know, like it's a year from now, at least. I got to find developers. I got to figure out a lot of this stuff on how to do it. But I know I'm in the right place. I know for a fact that there's only one place that I would ever want to build that. So that's great. Is there anything else before we close up that you might want to say?
I am thinking. I want to just point this out that everything what happened with Elrond before, that was the first phase in my opinion. And after ACDT is the second phase of Grow. So if you are, let's say, amazed by the price of the token right now, let's talk in another live stream after a year and see where we are based on the ACDT and all the future partners launching the projects. So,
yeah. Well, like, again, like, yeah, you just kind of look at the fact that, you know, right now we have, you know, eGold, you know, MEX is about to come and soon more partners as well. And I think, yeah, the more transactions that start coming through, and the more developers actually go back to their other developer friends saying, hey, I developed this smart contract that's earning me this much, you know, and I don't have to do anything anymore. It's been audited. It's there. It runs. And a lot of people are using it. And as soon as they start telling their buddies, you know, you're going to notice more and more people jumping over ship. And we just got to get that word out there. I think there's really no reason for a developer to not build on Elrond. And we just need to be out there explaining that, you know, over and over again. And now that we know that EESDT is available, it just opens so many doors. And with the Myar Connect or the Web Connect feature and the ease of use and all that stuff, it's just, you know, step by step, we're getting there, and it's we're gonna see some really cool things, you know, over the summer, end of the year, and yeah, like let's talk 2-3 years from now, and let's see where we are, you know. Or
they should also understand how the economics of Elrond works, because as you know that we have inflation right now, right? because we don't have so many transactions and so on. But if they start building more and more and more, at a point, the number of transactions will cover the inflation. At that point, the inflation will be zero and no more tokens will be created. So exactly. we cap the number, probably, let's hope, lower than Bitcoin. That's, let's say, my target. Probably will be a bit more on that. But after we cross that line, our revenue from APR will grow for all delegators because we will be paid, right, from the fees of all transactions. So our APR for every single delegator will be almost unlimited. If the number of transactions will cross that line and go up, then the gain is also going up. That's what people need to understand. It's not just about the APR now on the short term. It's about how we build things, how we grow the community, in fact, to grow our revenue over time together, like a big community.
Well, like when the delegation contract got released, and that day there was actually increases in rewards for people because the transactions were so high. And I think there's still a lot of education out there to understand that the rewards are actually coming from the foundation right now, and the transactions are what going to fuel rewards moving forward. So if you're a developer out there again, or you have 100,000 users that you want to bring over, and you're a big Elrond supporter, then you're actually going to support yourself by bringing those 100,000 people over, because every single transaction we add, we're getting closer to our goal of a non-inflationary token. And yeah, if we were under Bitcoin, that'd be incredible for stock to flow ratio, and what would be amazing. I think the general outlook is, you know, it's, I think it was 5 years to start seeing impact to transactions. But you know, we look at Myer exchange about to come. And you look at the amount of traffic, you know, Uniswap gets, or, you know, SushiSwap gets, you know, PancakeSwap. There's, you know, there's a new one out there called VaultSwap, and like they're just climbing like crazy, and they're getting insane amount of volume per day. So if we can even get, you know, 10% of that market, our transactions are going to go through the roof. That's just Elrond with all the other partners that are building and all the other things that are being planned. And they all have, you know, hundreds of thousands of users. I think, you know, that five year, 10 year target is probably extremely conservative. I don't want to go and speculate, and I'm not a big speculator, but you know, the DeFi side of thing, and Mex, and you know, then Launchpad, MPad, that stuff alone is just this giant avalanche of transactions that are coming our way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when things get going.
We can kind of predict in how many years Elrond will be mature, just looking in past. You know that we are learning from past. Bitcoin took over 10 years to be what's today. This Bitcoin is like the first layer of blockchain, like level one. Level two was Ethereum, which took 5 years to be what's today. So now when we are talking about Elrond, which is a level three blockchain, like nuclear power, we can say, if we just do the half again from Ethereum, as Ethereum did from Bitcoin, it will take 2.5 years, so 2 years and a half, or let's say 3 years to be more mature. So that's how I see myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just they had teams building, you know, ETH had teams building, and now, you know, Elrond does, and they were all built from scratch. And you know, you have to take a look. You have to give some credit to the way Elrond's been built from scratch, and that's what makes it so powerful, is the fact that it's code line one, and it's always being built on top of that, and there's no real, you know, influences. Like, I mean, there's obviously, you know, your societal influences and where they see things, but they didn't go and steal anything from anyone necessarily, or use anything. We do have another question just about Myer that I'll just, it says, has the Myer exchange release date been pushed to June? We haven't received any information on that. And you'll know just as soon as that. So I think one of the important things that I like to tell people is, we're not Elrond. we're community members just like you. We're partnered with Elrond, fair enough, but we don't have any special insight or info to anything other than and even then we don't with the validator stuff. We find out stuff pretty well the same time as you do. With the validator stuff, we might have a town hall, you know, the day before, and then it gets released the next day. But that's about it. We don't have this special line where we can call up Benjamin or, you know, call up Lucian and say, "Hey, is Meyer being pushed?" They hang up on you. Like, it's not our business. So I just like to say, you know, like, I'd love to be able to tell you that I knew, but we're not in that.
We can tell them circle. Just that we'll be first tested on testnet. So yeah. You will see that on testnet at True. Least soon. And the mainnet will be announced at least 10 days before. That's what Benny said in our last town hall, right?
Yeah.
So correct. If you see an announcement tomorrow, for example, that's for the release in 10 days. So is nothing decided yet, but you will know it 10 days before to, you know, prepare maybe unstake to move to liquidity and all that stuff. So
yeah, there'll always be time. And remember, it's everything gets tested. The amount of chains out there that just released stuff and they did internal testing and didn't do real world testing is actually kind of scary. I mean, they do their testing, but it's not as open as what Elrond is. And anyone can set up a testnet wallet. Anyone can go in and test. And that again is what makes it so strong, because it's inclusive, and by being inclusive as a community and in the developer world, the more people who test your app and the more less tech savvy people, let's call them, test your app, the better it's going to be. If you and me were to build an app together and a D app together, and you and me tested it, maybe we had a few of our other developers, maybe our marketing person or something, right? We'd all be like, "Oh, well, of course you do this because it's intuitive to us, right?" But when you get someone who's like, "I don't know how to hit stake. I don't know how to, like, how do I put my password in," you know? And those are the things, those little small things are what break user experience. If someone fails on actually being able to log in, then you need to know that. But if you built it and you know how to log in, you're never going to find that bug. So I think that's something that's very powerful as well.
Also, Elrond is playing with billions, so they need to be very secure and safe. So also we need to mention that Elrond probably is the first blockchain without a downtime since launch, and without rug pulls or hacks or anything like that. Like other competitors, they had attacks, they had downtime for hours without being able to do a transaction or something like that. I don't want to give names, but everyone who is like kind of a competitor, but we don't really compete with them, they had problems.
Yeah, and that's something I think we can all cheer about in our own homes right now. So I'll just be like, "Yay!" You know, like because it's incredible. But that comes down to the work ethic, to the ability to not even let one bug through. It might not be there's been times they've came out and said, "Well, we found a bug. We don't think it's going to be a problem now, but it could arise problems, so we're not going to launch." So they fix it then instead of saying, "Well, we just leave it be." And they don't. They no rock left unturned, and they make sure that everything's super solid. And that's something that is very, very, very rare in the development world, to be fair.
That's because they care about the reputation of the network. And I tell you why I think everyone should care about the reputation. Because when the government will say, "Hey, maybe we should move this digital this paper on digital. What blockchain we should use? Let's investigate what they did in past. Oh, this one had a crash and bugs and people lost money. Definitely we don't go with this. Oh, look, this is like a very secure without any incidents and all that stuff." So you need to look at these aspects. That's why we need to be perfect in all aspects, because some big companies will ask for this stuff, right? Elrond is not thinking at the DeFi level, which is right now on the market, like, I know, sushi or pancakes, where there is at least a hack per day with some tokens, right? So they are very careful even with partners. Like, I don't believe on the launchpad will be a partner which will have a rug pull or something, right? So
yeah,
everything
it's everything's going really well in that terms, and I've no doubt that it will continue that way. So you know, with the launch pad and everything coming, they're only going to select the best projects. So you know, if these guys, you know, are choosing a project with that level of development, operational procedures, then you know they're going to be picking a project that's going to be the same. So I think that's also a huge opportunity for everyone out there, because we're going to be getting projects to incubate that have passed the Elron test, and that's huge. If there's anything else you want to talk about,
no, just happy staking for everyone, and let's wait.
Yeah, keep calm and stake. Just that's what I tell people. I think people underestimate the value that staking actually brings, and how I stopped trading a long time ago. Once I discovered how to stake, provide liquidity, and that sort of thing, I was kind of like, why am I bothering chasing candles? There's no point, because those candles will always eventually go back to a new at height or whatever. And if you're going to just be able to lock your tokens up and earn more each day, eventually that snowballs. And as we all know here in Elron, you know, that's what we're doing. And to all our delegators who are, you know, about 8 weeks, 6 weeks in maybe now, I think they're starting to see the power of that. And happy staking. That's a good one.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll just end it here then. Thank you, Mihai, for coming on Elron Talks. I hope maybe one day you can host your own.
Next week.
And, yeah, sure. We'll plan something in the background. I think getting more people doing these, and as I said at the beginning, Elron Talks are an open format, you just got to give your kind of idea to myself or Eddie or someone else, and we'll try and fit you in, and if you're going to talk about Elron and do something, let's have you do an Elron Talks. This is a community ran thing, more faces, more people. Let's get to know everybody out there, and thanks for everybody showing up, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys. Yep. Bye.
See you, Mihai.